Welcome back, bell ringers and ship riders, uncanny dodgers and invisible terrors, to another sneak attacking, stealth initiative rolling, captain commanding episode of Dead Men Roll No Crits. This is your GM Patrick here, and joining me in a solo adventure this week is none other than the podcast patron saint of doing literally everything except GMing, is Rebecca. Howdy, Rebecca.
Hello, it's good to be here.
Hello, Rebecca, and only Rebecca. None of this Jabert or Tyler, Seth or Tyler, Tyler. No Tyler this week.
Maybe I'll get a word in this time.
No, probably not. I'm going to talk over you all the entire episode. Every time you just say something, just talk right over you. You've never had that experience, right?
Never. Definitely not.
Talking over you. Yeah, we've only talked about this a little bit, but we've done some episodes already, and we've done these one-on-one episodes before, but this is going to be kind of a coda for the characters, these one-on-one episodes. Do you remember the origin story that we did with Alaris, like episode like 5 of the podcast or something?
Back in 2020? That feels like centuries ago.
Honestly, scrolling through our feed of episodes, it takes like a full minute to get all the way down into the single digits of episodes. I'm trying to do it right now.
Yeah, I was looking back through my notes, and I've got like a whole composition notebook. Like all of that is notes from this campaign. It's a lot.
Please. Yeah. And there's no questionnaire to earn extra hero points. Not a single one.
I mean, honestly, like looking back through it, it's like, oh, I forgot about that. Oh, forgot about that. I should have actually read it word for word. I might actually remember what happened in this campaign. I am not sure what happened.
It's a good thing we recorded all these episodes, because listen to them. Just listen to them. I don't remember where exactly your origin story came in to the feed, but yeah, it was towards the end of 2020. I came across it
in my notes, actually, but yeah, I don't know.
I don't remember if they were, I think they were a little spaced out. We just kind of did them as we had the time to do them. But yeah, it's been a while. That episode, you know, was about how Alaris had made her way to the Shackles and learned about her, you know, class and skills and all that good stuff. But this episode, we're looking towards the future and what happens in the months and year in the time after King Cassius ascends to the throne. It leaves a weird taste in my mouth just saying that. Yeah, and we're picking up basically right where we left off for you the last time you played, episode 192, I think, where, you know, there's obviously a pretty epic party that happens after Cassius is crowned, not the Hurricane King, but the Driftwood King. And indeed, you get a fairly large surprise over rounds of heavy drinking and food at Fort Hazard as a drunken Cassius hands you a small scroll case full of papers and kind of gives you like a drunken thumbs up as he staggers back into the party. Maybe like his wings like supporting his weight like automatically. And yeah, as you open it up, there's a note on the outside of the scroll case that reads, "Fair's fair. You helped me earn this, so now you've got to help me rule." And taking a look at them, the pieces of paper are indeed the marks of ownership to the Isle of Empty Eyes, signifying its transference, the full title of Lord of the Island over to you. And maybe not something you thought of, but Cassius is going to be spending his time in Port Peril, so someone's going to have to deal with the Isle and maybe the mess that you made. You know, there's notes about you have to figure out what to do with the Cyclopean survivors, maybe rebuilding the fortress some more, the unnamed city. But yeah, making it into a port of call. Forget the name of the bay, but where you fought the giant octopus. You have to name all the places, all the features of the island. Rename them if they don't already have a name.
All right. That's a lot of responsibility. I think Alaris would be I think she would find this a little bittersweet.
Are you not used to Cassius unloading problems onto you? at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, yes, I appreciate the vote of confidence, but also, like, kind of saddled Alaris with an island not in terrific shape, right? There's a lot of mess to clean up there.
Yeah. Any ideas? We'll talk about this some more, but is there anything that Cassius did while you guys were kind of taking the island over that you think Alaris would have done differently?
Trying to think back to when we were on the island. I mean,
2022.
It was a while ago. I mean, obviously, a lot of Alaris's focus was on Uncle Olivier and his adventures on the island. Mm-hmm. Trying to think back, I would like to rename the fort. It can still be Olivier, but we're going to call it Fort Olivier and not Fart, because my uncle deserves respect.
We cut to a montage of someone like chipping off the bit of the A to make it into an O. Scrimshaw Jack is there overseeing the chipping away. It's like, all right, fine. We had fun. What's the penalty if someone calls it Fart Olivier? You make the laws on the island. So if someone calls it Fart, what's happening to them? And this will apply to other characters.
I'm going to build a torture box that all the pirates get to fart into.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's what happens when you piss off Alaris.
Is it a magical item? Is it like the box of many farts?
Yes.
Gross.
That's why I've been studying Kana or something. I'm trying to think back. What it, like, I feel
Arcanus,
like
the first thing you make, fart box.
I mean, got to do something with legendary and arcana. I mean, what else are you going to do? Mm-hmm. I feel like in general, Alaris finds Cassius's methods to be rather chaotic. I think she would approach things with a little more sense, a little bit more forethought. He makes rash decisions in her mind, but I can't think of anything specific that happened on the Isle of Empty Eyes that I would have done differently, but it's partly just for forgetfulness of what happens there.
He was,
despite the fact that I feel like we were there forever.
He was in his villain era for sure, because that's when he got captured and got a little emo. But the book 4 ended in episode 140, and I think it started in episode 100.
Is that where the harpies were that took him away?
Yep.
Okay. I just remember the big cyclops guys.
Oh no. It started in like the 90s. It was like a very, it was the, you know, when you get
to 100 episodes ago.
Yeah. When you get to the anime that's been around for a few years and they're like, all right, this arc is going to be like twice as long as every other arc. And it's just going to be nonstop battles, battles and battles. That's what the book 4 was for us. Right. So not your only surprise that night, as the entire night, the brash young pirate Pierce Jarrell has been pledging over and over again over many a cup of grog his undying love and support for you. He has already promised his fleet of ships to fly under the flag of the Spider Silk, but he's also, you know, nudging you forward to strike out on your own now that Cassius is king. He says, you're second in command, Alaris, right hand to the king. Now, Cassius is one of the most powerful sailors to ever have his boat float on the open sea. You're going to be expected to do great things as well. Maybe even, dare I say, take up the crown one day. And I'll be here to help you get whatever your aim is done, my lady. I'll put my ships behind your sails and we'll make for whatever port you want. If you want to sail to Shenzhen and taste the Eastern cuisines, or around to the impossible lands and inhale the spices like air, I will be right behind you.
I look forward to it, Pierce. I'll be glad to have your sails behind mine.
Yeah, so you've got a pretty sizable fleet besides the Spider's Silk. I think we've already talked about how some of your Uncle Olivier's former crew, including folks like Hinalius Fitch and Rummer Bud. Why can't I remember his name? What is his name?
Rummer
you have Bud? It in your notes.
I know, Bummer, I have Rummer, to find it. I have a book. Rummer
Bud. Why can't I say it?
I think it's Rummer Bud, right?
Yeah, you have your own ships, and yeah, combining with this, it's a pretty sizable fleet that has gone on to guard the Isle of Empty Eyes and take up under your sail.
I mean, going back to what I was saying before, I think Alaris would definitely like to take some time away from the Isle of Empty Eyes and do exactly what Pierce is saying, you know, like set out and find some adventure on my own terms, I guess. Been following in the footsteps of others for a while now, so.
Well, you can appoint a mayor for the unnamed city on the Isle of Empty Eyes if you want someone to take over mundane stuff. Is there anybody you'd have in mind for that position? And also, what's the name of the city? I don't know if we ever named the city outside of...
Is it a city now?
Fort. Yeah, I mean, it's like a few hundred people, but it's growing every day. Now that Cyclops and dinosaurs have been taken care of. You're not allowed to say Ichito Greg, so there's only about 100 other pirates you've met over the course of...
Ichito Greg is the first person that popped into my head, but...
Not allowed.
I think that would be a bad idea. Although that goes for most of the named pirates on the Tidebreaker. Like, who wants Dad Killing Jim to be in charge of a city, right?
All I got is because it is alliterative would be Mayor Mahim, the law killer. Mayor Mahim's got a ring to it. You don't have to pick right now, but you can definitely find someone who's worthy of the task if your heart is high to going adventuring. One of the rules or laws Cassius put into effect was creating like a defense fleet for the Shackles. So along with Hell Harbor and Drenchport, the Isle of Empty Eyes is like kind of one of the busier ports, as you have many a pirates sailing north to kind of defend the waters between the Shackles and the Eye of Abendego.
Question, whatever happened? Sorry, I'm looking through my notes. Whatever happened to Cerise? Is she still around? Is she part of our fleet?
Cerise. Who are you talking about?
She, so in episode like 136, she's the girl that like came up behind Alaris and tackled her to the ground. And then we ended up being friends. It's after the Romer Butt thing.
After the Romer Butt thing. So yeah, when you struck out on your own as captain, there was Elise Rogblood, who I don't know if she would join I think she probably would strike up with your fleet because she was impressed with your rescue operation and takedown of the ghouls on the island. So yeah, I feel like she's captaining her own ship again, perhaps. Man, you got a very large fleet. I thought Cassius was leaving with a lot of ships because I think he took over the Wormwood and the Filthy Lucre. But Alaris has got quite a number of ships as well. Yeah, and you can give them tasks. They can volunteer for the Northern Defense. Basically, they're asking for pirate volunteers, free captain volunteers to defend the North from, you know, Chelish spies or things like that, and have developed a fund for paying them for like a quarter of the year to patrol those waters. In addition to that, he's dedicated like a new letter of mark to pirates that want to just hunt down slavers and take, liberate their quarry and take their ships and things like that to try and keep that out of the Shackles. As you know, once he took a look at the books, there's a lot of slavery going on in the Shackles, and a lot of it benefited Cheliax. Like, there's kind of a parasocial tie because a lot of slaves did end up in the inner sea region that were taken from the Shackles, the shores of the Shackles. Right, so we've outlined a very busy few months for you as a new official pirate lord, an admiral, going on your own adventures. Is Alaris's priority here adventuring still?
Oh yeah.
Maybe offloading some of the task of taking over the Isle of Empty Eyes, and you've got burgeoning relationship with Pierce Jarrell, and you've got your own crew that you have to take care of now. I mean, many a crew Some of which, of course, were from the Tidebreaker. Not everyone went with Cassius. I imagine Owlbear Hartshorn is like an enforcer for you. Is there any other crew especially you wanted to take with you? You can say, you know, Sharga and Bartleby and all them if you want as well. Sharga might want to stay with the
Sharga's
king.
Sharga's going to go with Cassius.
Yeah.
For sure.
He might want to claim Bartleby to do paperwork as well, but...
Yeah, that would make sense. Honestly, I feel like Alaris and Candoso and Honto have worked really well together recent months, I guess. Would be happy to have either of them join her.
Yeah, I think they've got some in their one-on-one episodes. I think your paths cross a few times in the course of these months. Candoso heading towards the... help out with the rebuilding of Drenchport, the Master of Gales Isle and town, which got pretty much completely destroyed in the assault by the Imperial. And then Honto's got a whole bunch of stuff. He wants to head back up to the Sodden Lands, and he's handing off control of, I think, Greenblood on Black Rock to allies there as well. As the months pass on here, out of the blue one day, you get a missive carried to your ship by a pelican, a small note from your uncle Olivier, who has returned to the shackles with his sea wife Vilea and seeks to meet up with you. Is there any place, any port you'd like to set to meet him?
Why not the Isle of Empty Eyes?
That's fine. It's you know, built up pretty well, and he definitely doesn't have any bad memories about the island.
I mean, I feel like it would be healing for him to see how much Alaris has improved things over the last few months, right?
And he's got the...
Surely she's improved things.
He has the FORT fort dedicated to him there, so... Yeah. Yeah, so a few weeks pass, and eventually as you rest in the... Oh, did you have an idea about the city surrounding the fort? Do you want to just call it Olivier? Because that's also fine.
Yeah, let's just call it Olivier. It's just an extension of the fort. Yeah, I mean, Alaris continues to, you know, credit Olivier with the whole, I don't know, it's kind of her identity, and it's become even more so now that she has been, you know, arguably forced into being a pirate over the last few years.
Oh, right. So as your uncle shows up to Fort, it takes everything in my being not to call it Fart, Rebecca, by the way. Like, I'm trying so hard.
You're gonna go in the torture box if you do it.
Is it a box that you just have to be in? I thought it was like a handheld thing that you could be like, you know, throw it at someone and then they have to smell a teeth. But this is like a punishment box that smells of fart.
Yeah,
it's the most demented thing that's been done on this podcast. That is one. I think congratulations, you violated the Geneva Conventions, but two, I don't want to go in there. As you meet up at the fort, you can see indeed tons of construction going on in the city as people build kind of permanent residencies. And, you know, over the course of the year, the city is like tripled, if not quadrupled in size, you know, so maybe it's up to like close to 1,000 people. And yeah, you see your uncle, your pirate uncle, looking much happier and healthier than the last time you saw him. Noticeably a bit older, even though only a year has passed. And he invites with him onto land Vilea, who seems kind of shorter now, perhaps. And maybe her blue skin is a little more muted in tone. But she is sporting an impressive, some might say aggressive, baby bump. When you see her.
Oh my goodness.
Where we might have overcorrected in our relationship after we left and I got my body back. I think there might be twin cousins loaded up in the ballast here for you, Alaris.
Oh, Uncle, I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, that is what I wished for, was two young children, for sure. It is good to see you, lass. I have many a congratulations to give you and your crews on their success. As I see you all have shot for the stars and landed that captain of yours a place in the pirate pantheon as king. You did. I kind of would have preferred Tessa Fairwind myself, but I suppose your Cassius did help fight off the Cyclops and bring me back to life, so I can't say I'm unhappy he's taken up the Hurricane Crown, but I imagine you're pretty darn pleased with yourself, huh?
I think Cassius is doing a great job. He's already doing very good things for the Shackles, and I think he will continue to do so. I like to think that he has learned a bit from you and me over his time interacting with us, and perhaps we have tempered his brashness. Is the wrong word? Rashness?
Yes. He seemed a bit hot-tempered, as it were, but that's nothing to say to shrug at your accomplishments. You've done so much since coming down here to the Shackles. I wonder what's next for ye, me girl. What have you planned? You've taken over this island. I saw you put out a bunch of signs that had my name on them. That's very nice of you. You knew I was coming. It's like, well, wait a minute.
The city is named after you, Uncle.
No, you didn't do that, did you?
In fact, while you're here, I would like to ask you to pose for a statue to be erected of you.
Oh, my goodness.
In your honor.
This whole place is... I don't know about all that, but all right, fine, I'll do it. Twist my arm. Vilea, like, violently rolls her eyes when you make that suggestion.
Like, you and your family are always welcome here, Uncle.
Doesn't need a bigger head. What is next for you? What are you gonna do? You've done very well here, but what is on the horizon for Alaris Delcaton?
The horizon is what I mean to chase next. I want to leave my crew in charge here, keep things moving as they have been, and sail off into the sunset for a little while, perhaps with Pierce Jarrell with me. Have you met Pierce?
Uh-huh. If Pierce Jarrell did come to the island, I think they've met. Yeah. Had a beer or two, perhaps.
Well, let me reintroduce them, since Pierce and I have a little bit more of a meaningful relationship, I imagine, at this point.
Yeah, he's given you like a promissory ring and perhaps talked about the future a good deal. He allows you to keep his false eye as well, wear around your neck if you want. Gross. He's giving you a lot of jewelry, a lot of bling. Did you say gross?
Yeah, false eye? Does it go in his
Yeah, it was the magic stone he gave you before. I don't remember when he gave it to you, actually. It was book 3 or 4.
I don't remember that. Okay.
It's a magical item that's in your inventory, surely.
I'm sure I wrote it down. Definitely. 100%.
He's like, you threw away my eye? Oh, no.
Oh, is that what that was? Sorry.
Olivia gives some time to breathe in the conversation, then says, I might have a suggestion for a bit of a long sail for you, but it has been a few years since you've left from Magnamar, and I worry your parents might be mourning your loss. Perhaps it's time you sail back north, leave some of your fleet behind. They might not like 1,000 rowdy sailors showing up in port all at once there. I usually try to keep my visits pretty low-key, as it were, but yeah, just pay a visit up north once more, and you needn't worry. I can come with to parry some blows and perhaps introduce Vilea as well. It is my fault, after all. You came south on this quest to begin with. He seems to feel a little bad about it, but maybe there's also a bit of pride in how he says it.
Yeah, I think Alaris, perhaps given some time, you know, in building up Olivier and the city, I mean, you know,
that's going to be confusing.
Given some time to sort of reflect on the last several years away from constant adventure and constant peril, I think she's thought a lot about what led her to where she is today. And yes, the last several years on the sea and, you know, under Cassius and all of the other captains that she served under in those years certainly are part of what led her to where she is at this moment. But she can't forget where she was before all of that happened, which was honestly in a pretty privileged situation raised by two parents who really loved her. And I don't think that she fully appreciated that until she was had set out on her own and was away from that, you know, real security that was taken from her when she ended up under Barnabas Harrigan.
Yeah, so yes, Barnabas Harrigan to thank for all the fun things.
She feels, I don't think homesick is necessarily the right word, but I think that she does have a good bit of guilt and shame about not really appreciating her parents when she had them and when she was there. So definitely, I think it's high time for a visit back to Magnamar and hopefully to express these sentiments to her parents and that they won't be too angry with her.
High time. I think you mean high tide.
High tide.
But indeed, yeah, Olivier suggests that when the winds of the Eye of Abednego calm a bit in like a month, that y'all head north and says, I'm sure you can also kill two birds with one stone and make a killing selling pilfered wares to your father's connections in the market guilds. I always did every time I came to Magnamar.
You make a very good point.
It is only a month and a half later or so after you've set sail and spend a few weeks journeying north along this route you haven't taken for a number of years since you stole aboard a ship leaving the ancient Verisian city. Your trip north, mostly unmolested, as under Olivier's kind of map making, you can steer well clear of Chelish waters and lanes here. He gives you maybe some secret routes that they superstitiously, the Imperial Navy seldom sails, because you have to go right past Cheliax to get up to Magnamar. And yeah, eventually, once more, you see the clouds part over the open ocean, and in the distance can see the City of Monuments. First thing you can pick out along the coast is the enormous, incomplete Iron Span Bridge, followed by the cliffs and massive buildings and statues that dart around the city. And eventually, you see a few bits of the city you're very familiar with in the market district, and eventually the little steeple of the Temple of Desna. And as you see this in the distance, Olivier has a reassuring hand on your shoulder behind the captain's wheel as he comforts you as Spider Silk puts into port. A cabin boy is sent out ahead to announce the arrival of Olivier and guest, perhaps. And it's not too long later that afternoon, you're let in to your old home by a very shocked looking maid servant that's like, oh goodness. And inside, it looks like life hasn't changed one single bit in your parents' house. Same curtains, same china behind locked cabinets. The art on the wall has not been sold or updated or added to. And yeah, as much that has changed for you in just the intervening 3 years, you look down to see scars of battle across your skin, the jewelry from Pierce Jarrell hanging around you, your captain's boat hat, and the other magical adornments of weapons and armors and things like that. Perhaps you thought more would have changed elsewhere in the world, changed here, but it seems like this place has been stuck in kind of like a time warp. As you're looking around here, your mother and father abruptly enter the house. You see, it looks like they perhaps rushed through the city streets of Magnamar, and you see a ton of emotions cross their face, both sadness and jubilant excitement, as well as a little bit of fear mixed in. But yes, they see you in their drawing room, alive, next to your uncle Olivier, and as the emotions kind of pour out of them, your stuffy priestess and gaudy merchant parents, at a loss for words, kind of break down and rush forward to embrace you. And then there's hugs, there's kisses. Your mother goes up and slaps Olivier across the face and is like, that's for being a bad influence on my daughter. And then she gives him a hug too and says, and that's for saving her life, my dear brother. Olivier, getting strangled in a hug by your mom, retorts with a wink over to you and is like, all the saving was done on her part. I was the one needing rescuing this time. Yeah, what's the first thing you want to say to your parents after all this time?
It's been a long, long time. It feels longer than it has been. And I just want to say I'm sorry. I'm sorry for leaving. I'm sorry for not appreciating you when I was here and the life that you gave me. But I'm also not sorry because I feel like I've grown as a person. I've become my own person. I've found my own way, and I've survived it all, and I'm proud of myself. But really, it's all because of the upbringing that you gave me, and I thank you for that.
Your father's like, see, I told you she didn't want to become a priestess. Don't worry, Alaris. You can join me in the market. It's very progressive. They allow women to trade now. Whoa.
Well, that's good. I intend to make some gold while I'm here, but I won't be here for long.
What do you mean?
But I promise to visit more often than I have in the last few years.
Oh. They'll listen to some of your stories and throughout the night invite chefs. Chefs are hired to prepare food, servers, as a family feast turns into a large party as friends and colleagues from Magdemar are invited over to see you. There's a big to-do as Valea is introduced as well with Olivier. But yeah, folks enjoy your company for the first time in years. People that you've not seen in a long time. Olivier,
I hope Alaris was given the chance to request some of her favorites, because I'm sure, you know how your childhood food is more delicious when you haven't had it for a long time. I imagine Magnamar mutton is probably really popular or something like that.
You know, so Verisia is kind of like, it's a mix of a lot of different cultures, but I feel like a lot of the peoples are kind of Romani and European coded as well. So I think you got a lot of classic foods like that, but also just like, you know, very old London style city foods. You would have, you know, carts of sweet bread, or I guess not sweet breads, but sweetened bread, like elephant ears and things like that. Just something that, you know, is a bit too, not fancy, but that they don't have all the ingredients readily available at all times for in the shackles. So lots of fancy.
No fish, no clams.
They have, they're also a coastal city, so
I understand that, but I think she's probably looking for something that isn't just seafood, because she gets that all the time.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of Magnamarin cocktails and canapes that are, you know, fancy stuff passed around, but your Uncle Olivier will bring along spiced rum and delectable fruits and things from the shackles to share, something he did fairly often when he came to visit. But yeah, they're you don't get a moment at this party. Everyone's bending your ear, wanting to hear tales about your times in the shackles, all the adventures you had, the pirates you fought. And it becomes clear after telling the same stories like 5 or 6 times during the night that, just like your parents, everyone seems to, you know, have this mythic idea about the shackles. And it dawns on you that most of them think that people expect you to not return down there. They maybe think, oh, you had your adventure, you had your fill of it, and now you're back in Magnemar where you belong, much like your parents. So there's like people, you know, Olivia overhears this conversation happening again and again as well. And someone's like, oh, you must be so thrilled to be back home where we have laws and banks and running water for toilets, right? There's no running water for toilets down in the shackles, isn't that right?
Is there?
I don't know. You tell me. You're the one that went down there. Olivier gives you kind of like a knowing head shake when people come up and say these things to you. Maybe a wry smile. He seems to finally be able to share with you a secret that he could not tell you when you were younger, but one that he perhaps even tried to guard from you in your youth. The secret that once you get the salt water of the shackles in your blood, there's no taking you away from the Isles. You can take the captain out of the shackles, but you can't take the shackles out of the captain. once you've tasted that ocean spray on your lips, sailing past the eye, there's no returning to the safety of places like this in the inner sea. The party comes to an end the next morning. Your mother wakes you up for tea, breakfast, and your father asks how long you'll be able to stay in Magnamar, if he can set you up with an apartment of your own while you stay here, or things like that. Is she willing to spend some time back here?
I think having been gone for a long time, she would probably spend a longer visit than ordinarily, but not more than a month. I mean, she's got to get back to the Isle. She's got work to do and adventures to go on. And as much as she loves her parents and loves being back in Magnamar and the comforts therein, I think that she's very eager by the end of that month to set sail again.
Yeah. So what do you do while you're in Magnamar besides visit with folks? Did you've mentioned to me, but they kind of request perhaps that you write more often, perhaps try to get letters up to Magnamar from the Shackles, telling of your adventures. Did you mention to them that you'd be interested in writing at all about your time down south of the Eye of Abednego?
Yeah, I think in that month that she's in Magnamar, and you know, at the urging of her parents and being back perhaps in her childhood home, where, you know, I imagine she has a bedroom with a maybe child-sized desk still in her bedroom.
I'm so sorry, Rebecca. They turned it into a gym. Gym / office.
That's the one thing in the house that changed, right? Like, her bedroom is gone.
A month after you're gone, you're like, well, gotta use a space. Everything of yours is there, but it's boxed up. It's in a corner.
But no, I think, you know, in that month, she has some free time, again, to reflect on adventures and things like that, and especially regaling these people who don't know anything about the Shackles, who don't know anything about this life that she has been leading, and perhaps are, you know, misinformed in a lot of ways. Perhaps that is the main inspiration, if you will, for her sitting down and writing a book about her time in the Shackles and about the history, if you will, of those that she has met along the way, and what piracy really is like in the Shackles, what life is really like in the Shackles based on her experience.
Right, and that, yeah. There's plenty of libraries and arcanums and things that can help you with putting pen to paper, maybe doing some research here and there where near need be. You know, maps and things like that, if you want to copy down some maps. Yeah, and your parents only pressure you a little bit, a lot, to have kids or come back and join the Church of Desna, or, you know, give up on your piracy. It's mostly just a quick jab here or there. But after spending this time in Magnamar, when your time comes to an end, naturally, you also do get a message from a merchant vessel out of Ramadoom that has carried from the south of the Great Hurricane a missive that bears what you gather is the Imperial Seal of King Cassius himself. And it's a little invitation to come back for something called the Driftwood Festival, the year anniversary since he took over control of the Shackles, took over as king. Big party in Port Peril that you got to get back for. When you leave this time, do you tell your parents, or do you just like peace out again, or do you allow them to have like a goodbye party too?
No party, but I think that she will perhaps one morning before her parents are fully awake, go into their bedroom, you know, lean over, kiss her father on the forehead,
snoring,
and gently tap her mother on the shoulder and put into her very sleepy hands a leather-bound journal and say, "The seas are calling, mother," and give her a kiss on the cheek and get out of there.
They put on a pot of coffee and go downstairs in the morning as they look out into the bay of Magnamar and see the spider silk sailing out south again. And in their hands, they open up the leather-bound embossed
cover of this journal where the words Skull and Shackles, A History of Piracy and Adventure by Alaris Del Caren is embossed there on the cover. What do they read inside this tawdry tale? Is it edited at all for your parents, or is this like the straight truth?
What's the straight truth?
I almost died on a ship called the Wormwood immediately after coming down. No, what is it? You got an introduction.
I do. All right. It reads, I was not always a pirate. I suppose most aren't. They come to it through force or perhaps desperation. Ah, but I longed for it. The sea seemed to call to me as I sat on the banks of Magnamar. I listened with rapt attention to my Uncle Olivier's tales of adventure and treasure hunting. But I did not know then that there was a cruel undercurrent in every story I heard. Slavery, violence, and greed I had never encountered in my life on the land. I wasn't so naive as to think pirates were noble and good, but I couldn't fathom the evil that often lurks beneath their bows. And yet, not all pirates are callous at their core. What drives people to act the way they do? Each of these pirates has a story. In the tales that follow, you'll learn about Ponto, who seeks to punish those who wrongfully enslave their fellow men. Candoso, who can harness the powers of nature, but would stop at nothing to protect it. And Cassius, whose brazen demeanor belies a captain who deeply values and understands his crew. And countless other allies and enemies of the Tidebreaker, each navigating their own turbulent waters. The book that follows is not a children's book. Indeed, it is full of exciting swordplay and hidden treasure troves, but it also brings to the surface the sins and secrets that many would have stay at the bottom of the ocean. Come along and hear the real tales of the Shackles, barnacles and all.
So as the chapter ends here, so too ends the chapter of this episode for Alaris sails back to many an adventure down in the South Seas of the Shackles. But those are all tales for another time here on the podcast. And we do have some more adventures to come, Rebecca. More Yay. Adventures with your allies in Cassius, Candoso, and Honto. And DT, you know, we got tons of stuff going on. We have, after we get done with these solo episodes, still some adventure, some danger, some level 20 action to do. But yeah, that's going to do it for this week's episode. Thank you for playing with me.
Thank you, Patrick.
This counts as playing. We didn't roll dice, but we still played, and it's still an episode.
Still role play.
Still role play. Yeah, that kind of play. So that's going to do it for us. Patreon Pirates, Freebie Captains, thank you for listening. And we will catch you on the next solo episode of Dead Men Roll No Credits.
Yarr.